Welcome once again to the Believer's Voice of Victor broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland, Professor Greg Stevens. Yesterday, we talked about a dead spirit. What? Now, wait a minute. A dead spirit, a spirit, once a spirit is released into this earth, mm-hmm. it's here.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. A dead spirit is one that does not have a relationship with Jesus. Hence the term born again. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus said that to Nicodemus. He didn't get it either.
No.
Jesus was born of the Spirit, and in John, the third chapter, he said, shall a man re-enter into his mother's womb? Well, he wasn't born again. He didn't get that. His spirit is a natural spirit, and the king, the priest,
prophet.
And the prophet. Well, a born-again child of God is now, if you just study it, has been made a king and a priest to our God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because we are now seated in the Spirit in the right hand of Jesus.
That's
He's
right.
at the right hand of the Father.
That's right.
And we've been made to sit with him in heavenly places because we are new creatures in Christ.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Now, you have to remember, Gideon was not.
Right.
Now, that's a positional reality that we use our faith for today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You have to keep that as a moment of faith. Going back to Gideon from yesterday, set this up. He's a judge of Israel. He's the fifth judge. His name will be, they'll give him a new name. Well, you can find it in Judges chapter 7. Mm-hmm. Then Jerubbaal, or Jerubbaal, with a J, Hebrew pronounces it with a Y, who is Gideon. This is after he tore down, you talked about tearing down the altars. After he did that, they gave him a new name, and that name literally means that Baal will contend with him. In other words, Baal's going to take mm-hmm. care of him for what he did. Now, what's interesting, let me show you.
I didn't know that, Greg. I didn't know what that name meant.
That's what it meant. Baal would contend.
In other words, boy, Baal, the devil's going to get you for that.
Exactly. For what you did. Huh. And that was after, and we'll go back and talk about what caused it. But now this is interesting. They'll probably show it on the screen, but I gave all you class, I gave you a picture of a pottery shard. Mm-hmm. This was found in what we now know as ancient Ziklag of David. And that's Paleo ancient Hebrew Canaanite lettering on that piece of pottery. And it's that name, Jerubbaal. It is that name. It's not Gideon. It's
well,
this,
yeah, Baal's name is there.
Yeah, that's the name they called Gideon.
But that, you can see that. The Baal is right there at the end of that name.
And that's what's on this pottery. And they found it. So, this could be an indicator. Okay, this guy's real. Gideon is real. Now, his name is Gideon, which means the hewer, the one who chops down. That's what Gideon means in actual Hebrew. But this, I found this piece of pottery, and I love it that the archaeology is proving.
Every day.
That's Judges chapter 7, verse 1.
I had the Lord to say to me, oh, this is years ago. He said, the closer it gets, and he was referring to this, the closer the end times come, when he will have to use natural means to sweep the stragglers in, mm-hmm. that we will begin to find things. And he said, when it gets so close, I will allow them to find Noah's Ark.
So this piece of pottery is from March, I believe it was March of 2023. This is a new find that they found this.
So it's just little piece by little piece for the skeptics that need that. Wow.
And it's dated around 1100 BC. which was the time of Gideon. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Gideon's main enemy, the main enemy of Israel, is a group of people called the Midianites. They rule the roost in Israel for a long time. Israel has no standing army again. They have no commander to lead an army. And the Midianites are a heavily armed band of marauders that come in and steal from the Israelites every time the crops come in. So who are these Midianites? Where do they come from? When Sarah died, Abraham marries another woman named Keturah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of their sons is Midian. So these are descendants of Abraham from this other woman.
Now, it's a very interesting note here at the power of faith. Sarah died. He remarried. Mm-hmm. He was dead.
That's right.
And had six more sons.
And I think Midian is the fourth one. I can't remember exactly. I could be wrong about that. Here's another thing. Moses, years later, will flee Egypt because he kills an Egyptian. Where does he go? Midian. He marries a Midianite. His father-in-law, Jethro, is a priest of Midian. And so they have this history. They're not as bad as the Amalekites, but they have this history. That's who they are. That's what they're about. Let's go to Judges chapter 6,
mm-hmm.
if you would. And let's look at verse 11 of 6. And there came an angel of the Lord yes. and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Azurite, and the son of Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress. He threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The Midianites always came and stole stuff. Mm-hmm. So when this angel comes to him, he's hiding the harvest.
The young man that they threw on the bones of Elisha, they were running from the Midianites. Can you tie that together? That they were terrible. And they were running from them. And they were planning on burying this young man. And they just threw him in there.
Mm.
And he rose up from the dead and ran out with them.
They have the problem with the Midianites because Joshua never finished cleaning out the country of all the people that should have cleaned out. But as a result, anyway. And the angel, verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. That's Malak Adonai. That's a special angel. It's a different angel that speaks directly from God. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and mm-hmm. said unto him, the Lord is with thee, the mighty man of valor. Now, he called him a mighty man of valor while he's hiding from the Midianites with that.
Now, let's think about that a minute. This was not the angel speaking. It's the angel of the Lord. Mm-hmm. We're going back to authority. Mm-hmm. He got his rank right then. He made him a mighty man of valor. From that moment on, that's what God called him. Now, that's his real name.
He's calling him, got something right here. He's calling him from his destined place, not from where yes. he is right now.
Yes.
And when God calls you, it may sound crazy to you when he calls you, but he'll call you from your destined place, not from the situation you're in right now.
That's good.
All right. Gideon is threshing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And every time the Israelites would start to harvest, every time some of you, seems like every time prosperity is close, every time you get a little bit ahead, something pops up and takes it from you. Mm. Here's your answers.
Now, let me point out something out here. And the verse 14, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? He called the man to do this. So the minute he said it, he's a mighty man of valor.
Now look at his...
Now I'm thinking about the night that Kenneth Hagin separated me to the office Absolutely. Of the prophet. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting that. Mama. He was giving the invitation. Preached there all then at Williams Center. And Saturday night was the big night. There were 9,000 people in there that they counted that night. I was not expecting that. I went to that service a teacher and came out a prophet. Because God separated me through his prophet, and that prophet called me one. Mm.
And now you teach at the level of a yes. prophet. Mm.
And at first, I couldn't tell the difference. I thought, what do I do now? But I went to church, a teacher, and came out a prophet. Now I had to find out who I am. Mm-hmm. This is happening to Gideon.
Gideon will start complaining, or not start complaining, he'll start giving excuses. Down here in 15, he'll talk about his family and how poor they are in Manasseh.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Boy, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. No, you're a man of valor.
My God. That's good.
But he had to start there.
So he gets an answer in 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, mm-hmm. and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. He's already given him a clue. It's not going to be a vast army. You need to do this. Mm-hmm. And he said unto him, verse 17, if I found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Reminds me when Jesus said the Jews always seek a sign. He wants a sign. That's all he has to go by. Depart, verse 18, depart not hence, I pray thee, till I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in, made a ready a kid and unleavened cakes and an ephod of flour and flesh in a basket, put forth the broth in a pot, brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said to him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth as he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there arose a fire out of the rock.
Yes.
And consumed the flesh and unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight.
Now, Gideon, I want to point out right
Gideon was scared after that.
Bring my present, number one, a meat offering.
Yes, he did.
He wouldn't do anything until he brought an offering to the Lord.
Yes, right.
And that's what Oral Roberts was continued to teach. Don't do anything until you sow a seed.
That's what he's doing.
This is what that refers to.
And he talked about how poor his family was.
Yeah.
Mm. Yet he did it.
But he wouldn't do anything until an offering. I don't think he could possibly learn that from his dad, who's a Baal worshiper. Right. Hmm. And they named him a name and said, Baal's going to get you for that.
Yeah.
I heard somebody singing a song, God's going to get you for that. And then I sang a song about the righteousness of God, and the disc jockeys wouldn't play it.
That's right.
And some of them said, God, one, Joe Stock, his father-in-law said, that young man standing up there talking to the devil like he's talking, said he's going to bring him down. Don't think the devil won't bring him down for that. He said, I give him 5 years and he'll be done. So 5 years went by and Joe went back to him and said, well, he's not done yet. I won't give him but five more. See, it's the same. It's the same spirit. Mm-hmm. And this, but I had the advantage. Gideon didn't.
That's right.
I had the advantage of Oral Roberts, but he would not do anything until he brought his offering to God. In my opinion, in this whole thing, that was huge.
It was huge. After that, he realizes, he's afraid. He said, I just saw God. He believes he's going to die for what he just saw. Now, the Midianites and the Amalekites now join them. Now, who are the Amalekites? They're descendants of Esau.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So now the descendants of Esau with the descendants of Midian, Abraham's son, have joined up.
Didn't the Lord say, I will fight with the Amalekites until they be no more?
That's right.
Yes.
Well, they're the first ones to attack Israel as they came out of Egypt. And they've always had that thing. And he wanted them out. So he then offers a fleece. And let's find that. Verse 36.
Yeah.
And Gideon said unto God, he's already had two miracles. He's already asked for things. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put, verse 37.
Whoa. If you'll do what you said, had he been any more advanced than that, that might have gotten pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
But he had no knowledge. So the Lord had to deal with him this way.
So this is after he had gathered all these men. He had gathered an army, and the other army is out there. It's a huge one. So he'd gathered this army, so he's going back to the Lord one more time here before we're going to go to battle. And he says, verse 37, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that the Lord will save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl of full of water. I mean, he really, God made sure that he knew that the thing was wet. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but there this once the fleece, let it now be dry upon the fleece, and upon the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. So he did this thing twice with this fleece. He is not a king. He is not a prophet. He is not a priest. And the Spirit will come upon him now for this battle. Mm-hmm. Though they were anointed for the office they held, for that purpose. Now, Saul was anointed to be king, so how could it go wrong? If you'll notice, when he anointed him, it's always in the details, guys. When the prophet anointed Saul to be king, he used a vial of oil. When he anointed David to be king, he used the horn, which means animal sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Blood was involved in David's anointing. Total different anointings. God's going to whittle the army down now for him.
The son of David
is anointed.
Is the sacrifice,
and that's why the horn. It wasn't time for this. So they come against the Midianites, commenced with a battle cry, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. I don't want to get too nerdy wordy here, but the translators use the preposition of, the sword of the Lord, in the battle cry. The preposition in the Hebrew is a lamed. It's not a mem. So thus it would read this way in Hebrew, a sword of the Lord and for Gideon, or a sword of the Lord and to Gideon. If you read the Targum, which is Aramaic, Jesus obviously knew how to speak and read, the Targum reads this way, a sword for the Jehovah by the hand of Gideon.
Yes, that's right.
It was all God's fight. Mm-hmm. Gideon is just the one that's executing it, but he's the one fighting. God's the one fighting this thing. After all is said and done, the nation wants to make Gideon the king. He's smart enough to refuse that. His son wants it and never gets it. The people of the first covenant, we can't stress this enough, are not spiritually alive. The Spirit would come upon them. Because the Spirit, the angels, for the most part, had to leave the earth after the fall.
Mm-hmm.
They won't come back till Acts chapter 2. You taught me that.
Yes.
They were led by the law. They were led by their intellect and their reason. They were led by their flesh.
You see that in Jacob's ladder. The angels were coming to and fro.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob wrestled with an angel.
Yes, he did.
And in that situation right there, Jacob became Israel.
That's right.
But his name would go back and forth. And Jesus would refer to him as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it's not the state of Jacob today, it's the state of Israel. So that name change was extremely important because he would not give up. And if you go back and study that, he laid it before God that he would tithe forever. And so you see Jacob's letter. But then on the day of Pentecost, they all came back. And the rushing mighty wind that they heard was this untold, incalculable number of angels that came back into this planet suddenly. And it sounded like it was not, but it sounded like a rushing mighty wind.
That's the sound they heard. The cloven tongues of fire was the Holy Spirit descending upon them.
Yes.
But that sound you heard was the angels yeah. coming back in the earth. Everything has changed now that we live in this new covenant. We don't operate like Gideon operated. We're not supposed to operate like Gideon operated because we have a new covenant established on better promises.
We must not operate.
You cannot.
You cannot do that.
Because to do so is to not operate in your seal. We are sealed, Brother Copeland. The new covenant is sealed by the Spirit. So that's why we have to operate by the Spirit. That goes back to your Romans.
Mm-hmm. Surely it does.
Romans chapter 8.
Yes.
Made by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You've become a son now by the Spirit and been sealed.
And by the inward witness.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And not the outward witness. Mm-hmm. Now, Christian people, since I didn't know anything about this until I never heard of it, and until I began to hear people putting out fleeces for this and fleeces for that.
You're going to get in trouble.
And really get into trouble over it.
Yep.
And we'll talk about that some more. But let's go ahead with this.
The Lucifer will hear you put out a fleece. The devil.
Big time.
And he knows that that's not how you're led as a believer. And he's going to do everything he can to do this. Guidance, let me say this to you now. Guidance in the new covenant is not putting out a fleece. Mm-hmm. Nowhere do you find it in the new covenant.
It's not there. It's not even mentioned. The inward witness is.
A fleece is of our senses.
Yes.
And God doesn't speak to you by your senses.
And like Brother Hagin said, that's a real good way to get fleeced.
Yes.
And how much time do I have, Carol? Well, we'll talk about this tomorrow. But it's very important to know that. And then we'll get into some other things. So, praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, give the Lord a praise. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have questions about what's going on in the world, about your future, your family, the direction you should go? No matter the questions and situations you're facing, you can rejoice and be shielded by the peace of God. Get the Family Peace Package, a CD series by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland called Simple Stress Relief Through Thanksgiving and Praise, and their book, Family Promises. Start putting God's word in your heart now concerning your family, marriage, and children. Then when the storms of life come, you can be led by the Spirit of God to know what to do and respond in faith to overcome. Learn to quiet the sounds of the world and receive the answers you need for every situation you face, knowing God is with you. Your praise and worship to the Lord is a weapon that silences the enemy and produces an atmosphere where God's blessing flows. Roll your cares onto Jesus, your caretaker, and live in His peace that passes understanding. Request your copy of the Family Peace Package, free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, at kcm.org/TV special or when you call 800-600-7395. Receive the truth of God's Word established in your heart and grow strong in faith. The Family Peace Package is a great gift idea for your friends and family. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Wherever Jesus went, he healed and delivered people. He performed miracles, met their needs, and fulfilled their dreams. He was willing to help others and was always looking for an opportunity to share his Father's love. One of the greatest things about Jesus is that he never changes. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still healing, delivering, and blessing, and he can do the same for you. Look to Jesus and receive him into your heart. Make him the Lord and Savior of your life by praying this prayer with me. Lord, I confess my sins before you. I turn my life over completely. Take over and be the Lord of my life. I receive you as my Savior. I receive your Holy Spirit. I receive my new language. Thank you that I'm born again. Amen. Glory to God. You are born again, and as God's child, you have the Holy Spirit in you. John 14:26 refers to the Holy Spirit as your comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. He is the one sent by God to teach you and remind you of all the good things that God tells you. To help you learn how to be led by the Spirit of God, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift for you. It's called the Salvation Package, and it includes a book, He Did It All For You, and some information to help you start reading and studying your Bible. Use the brochure as a guide to lay out a plan for reading the Bible every single day. Brother Copeland has taught us that the Bible is God's word, it is his bond, and there are many great and precious covenant promises in it. Begin your journey of faith, finding out and receiving what belongs to you as a child of God. Request your free copy of the Salvation Package today on kcm.org. While you're online, you'll have access to many resources on topics that are important to your family. Build your faith with the Word of God and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Now, you don't want to get fleeced. And we're going to deal with this tomorrow. No, we're led by the inward witness.
Yes.
And that's more important. It's more important to know that than this flea stuff. So we'll get into it. But until then, one more time, remember this. God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord. Glory
yes,
to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo!
If you received Jesus into your heart and made him the Lord and Savior of your life, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to welcome you to the family of God. They have a gift for you called the Salvation Package to help you understand more about your new life in Christ. Receive your free package on kcm.org/salvation.